Hi, it's Lloyd. I got two quick things to say.
Appreciate you being there, Lloyd.
Number one, Florida has proven to be a pretty good team. I mean, they've endured the one loss on the road where they gave up everything after having a big lead.
Are you on like an earpiece? I need you on a phone or something. I can hardly hear you. Kind of going in and out.
Just a moment. Yeah.
Okay. So yeah. Florida, wow. Go right ahead.
Yeah. I hate to praise them, but Florida had the one, you know, little bit where they make it with the, lose a game and get everything back, and Tennessee can never do that. But I just think this team has really, there's not much more to say because there's not much we can do at this point from a fan base standpoint to try to demand more. So Florida's going to roll into this SEC title game when Horseface shouldn't even have a pulse, and you couple that with how bad Kirby Smart is. This Kirby Smart guy is so awful. And all Botch had to do was get the hell out of the way. If he couldn't get out of the way, and he had to have a fourth quarter comeback to come back against Florida, and a fourth quarter comeback to come back against Georgia. This guy is so bad. I am to the point to where I want his head. I want Botch gone. I'm sorry. He needs to be fired. Sorry, Tony.
You want what? I'm fired.
Oh, man. Hey,
that's why we do this, man. 865-200-5402. The emotion of it is just amazing. Now Kirby Smart is a nightmare at Georgia. Do you doubt that, Russell? I put the over under on him at 3.5, and I'm playing the under. Thoughts?
So, Tennessee has played.
Don't start this again.
Four Saban disciples in a row. Sumlin. So 4 out of 5 Saban disciples.
Mm-hmm. And 4 out of 5 dentists say that his family tree doesn't fork.
Oh, man. I'm sick of that guy.
His coaching tray. Back to the phones. Let's go and get our next call in on your Smartway Garza Law Firm 5th Quarter Fan Reaction. Hello and welcome.
Hey, Tony. This is Greg.
Hey, Greg. Welcome.
I appreciate you guys. I'm a little late getting in tonight calling you guys, but I clicked on. I've been listening to you for about an hour. Kind of like all the other folks that have called probably. But I do want to say one thing, everybody that is still out there this time in the morning, about the coaching staff of the Tennessee Volunteers. It takes coaches to recognize talent. Judge talent that they have. Put the number one guys in each position on the field, no matter what class they're in. That seems to be a problem, that last part. The class they're in, they seem to be having to give it to the senior before they give it to the freshman. Earlier this year, we had Jalen Hurd, in the backfield with a dart of Kamara coming in every so often. He didn't get a lot of action until, if I'm remembering this right, didn't get a lot of action until the Texas A&M game when he showed out, when they had to use him. We never saw Kelly hardly any during the first part of the year. Hardly any. And you know, like I do, it takes a running back to get acclimated to the game, give him more carries, gets him going, gets that blood flowing. Well, he did well the previous game before tonight. didn't do too bad in the games he's played the last couple of games. Well, like you said earlier, they brought him in. He got, 94 yards or whatever it was, and they took him out.
Ripped off a 34-yard carry to midfield, and they could not wait to get him out of that football game.
What the hell? What the hell is going on? I don't get it. For one thing, the number one team, also remember this, and the pro guys do the same thing. And the good, I think the good teams in America in the top 10 are doing it too. I'm not sure. Maybe most of them are. Number one team in the country. You got the head coach on the field. You got the offensive coordinator on the field. Get them guys out of the damn box. Get them on the field. If they got a problem with a guy, they can go to him themselves and tell them in a way rather than having to relay the damn message. I'm so sick of these guys being in the booth thinking that's where they ought to be. Earlier Tennessee teams, the guys were on the field. They were successful during Philip Fulmer's tenure. I don't know what I'm going to do. I tweeted out earlier I was done with Butch Jones and DeBoard. I'm fed up. I've had it up to my eyebrows. I'm all for the kids, but the kids have to have damn direction that's sensible. And these coaches need to know who they got on the team by now and what the hell they can do. And also, you live and die with a damn blitz. That's been proven over and over and over again. It did it with the Chief. The Chief did that a lot at UT. He got burned quite a bit. I just don't know what to say anymore. I love my Tennessee Vols. But the doggone coaches are the guys who need to take the heat. They should never mention one player's name, period, in that loss tonight. Don't mention one player's name. Mention the damn coaches' names. Because you're having the quarterback throw it in amongst the three defenders. He's getting hit. The ball's flopping through the air like a wounded duck. Getting intercepted. I mean, hey, you got to put the guy in position to win the damn game. You got embarrassed tonight. I sure hope it don't happen the rest of the year.
Thank you, brother. Great phone call. Dubsy, your thoughts on that gentleman's impassioned speech?
It's turning on Butch Jones a little bit, isn't it?
Well,
hard to believe that. You know, after the Florida game, after the Georgia game,
yeah,
people are ready to lionize him, and now
it's the world these guys live in. Look, when you make that kind of money, and you expect the commitment from a fan, you saw Les Miles get fired in September this year. Brian Kelly's on the hot seat at North Carolina. People get off on those hot seat rankings. They love seeing those millionaire coaches get fired.
Yeah.
It's the world they live in. And you know what? Gus Malzahn, 2 weeks ago, it was a foregone conclusion that he was fired.
Well, and with Butch, I mean, this week everybody's assuming they're going to go 5-0 and go 10-2 and win the East, and we're talking contract extension.
Yeah.
Big raise.
Yeah.
Oh, lose one of those games.
I don't
sit there.
It's all
off the table.
No. Mm-mm. Now, some people are telling me that they pulled Kelly out to rest him after his 34-yard run. Why? Would be my question. Run a play with him as a decoy.
Yeah.
Keep him in the game. Why?
Run Dobbs. Don't.
Right.
Don't,
I mean,
immediately
don't
start
sit
throwing
there
it.
And go from the shotgun with an empty backfield and nobody back there and make him do what he doesn't do well. He turned the ball right over. It's not his game. It's not. People say, well, Kelly pulled himself out. Stay on the field. Be the head coach. I mean, it's stupid. Back to the phones I go. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Hey, Tony.
Hello.
Hey, this is Bobby in Jackson.
Hey, Bobby, welcome.
Hey, you know, I really wasn't going to call tonight because I was pretty I was pretty down.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, I'm sitting here thinking in retrospect, and I'm kind of reminded when I first started watching Tennessee football the first couple of years, you know, one year, it was 1969, and Alabama had been tearing the league up for all through the 60s. And they played Tennessee one year, and we beat them 41-14. And Steve Kiner crossed the field after the game and went to the Bear. And he said, gee, coach. And this is a quote, because I looked up the exact word. They don't seem to have the same pride in wearing that red jersey anymore. We beat them 41-14 in 69. That was Steve Kiner. And I was reminded of that in terms of pride of Tennessee, and I don't know where that comes into play here, but for some reason, that's all that runs through my head.
Well, you know what? Next week, I'll give you something to think about. We're going to take hopefully 100 or so children who have parents who are either one or both in jail, and we're going to take them. And we're going to take them to their first Tennessee game next week.
I love it. Tony, I want to send you some money for that if you need it. Seriously, I want to help with that. I think that's wonderful.
You know, and that to me is what we're doing here. Somebody would say, well, why at 2:15 Eastern time are all of your lines currently jammed? Well, yeah, it's because we love this stuff, man. We're passionate.
It's the
about
heart.
It. It's hard.
It's the heart of the game.
Sure.
It's the heart of the game.
Sure, and it matters to those kids that play it. And you know what?
Yes, it does.
As long as it matters to those kids that play it, it's always going to matter to me.
Yeah, and as long as they have pride in wearing that orange jersey.
That's right.
That's what it's all about.
Sure, bro. And you know what? You're going to win some, you're going to lose some.
Absolutely.
The thing.
And you don't mind losing when you beat.
No.
When you're stupid.
You said it, Bobby. And that's the deal. That I'm left with tonight is stupid.
Yeah.
Stupidity is the thing that's inexcusable about this deal, man. It's like, how do you lose to a team that's 13 points better than you? Your game plan to begin with sucked. You're trying to throw the ball. What are you working your passing game? If you're working your passing game, how many balls did you throw to 15 tonight? Hello?
Yeah. I know. And, you know, we talk about Kelly, why do they pull him out? Well, you know, so he would rest. And I'm saying, well, what in the heck is the point of those wind sprints they do?
Right.
And brag about
right.
the conditioning. I mean, you run wind sprints so you can run multiple plays. I mean, that's what it's all about. That's the point. Otherwise, you're just packing people out for nothing. And then another thing, blocking and tackling. Bear Bryant said, to win this game in Southeastern Conference, you got to block and tackle. And we don't do that very well, particularly.
No, but we're pretty beat up.
I know we are. But I tell you one other thing that I've noticed is analysis after watching this game, and I'm frustrated the whole year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, problem is with these officials. How many of them were actually starters and lettermen in college? How do they understand the next game? You know, I know it's a brutal game. These kids play by choice. They know what the damn consequences can be.
Mm-hmm.
I say let them play. Keep the flag in your pocket unless the offense is egregious enough to warrant it. I mean, it's like, you know, if you do something that's outrageous, yeah. All right, if you're playing hard and so you touch the helmet, you weren't trying to hurt the guy. You're trying to take his ass out. And
Russell,
that's what it's about.
Russell, how many total penalties in tonight's game? Take a stab at it. What do you think?
On Tennessee?
Both teams combined.
Both teams combined. Oh, wow. I'd say at least 15.
16. How many should be called in a game you feel like?
9, 8,
yeah.
I'd say.
Both teams, 8 or 9.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Maybe. Maybe.
16 penalties. You keep doing that, you'll lose viewers, man. Your game won't grow. And that's happening at all, like I said, that's happening on all levels.
I mean, you know, some of these penalties for touching. You know, they're running out of the field, they're touching each other, at the last second the ball's coming, we touch last, but we get a penalty.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
here's the other thing tonight. They called a targeting call on them and then reviewed the thing and called the targeting, and it was not the right call.
Yeah.
It's not the that is not that kid when our receiver lowers his head, has no choice but to hit him helmet to helmet there.
That's exactly right. And I've seen that happen the other way for us. I've seen it happen on them, and that's not right. It's just, you know, you could almost call it their targeting if you think about it.
Do you believe that, Russell? Yeah. Our guy initiated that helmet contact. He put his head down. And I guarantee you, when our coaches watch that, they're going to tell that kid, hey, you get your neck broken doing that.
Yeah, I mean,
and I think that was Jennings. Was that Jennings on that play? He's so physical.
I think it was. Yeah,
he was wanting to lay a blow to the guy.
He knocked the dude out. I mean, he went to the ground with his arms up in the air, and he's probably out with a concussion anyway. So talk about adding insult to injury. Do want to give a shout out to that one Carolina defensive back who got
thrown
out for going all Ric Flair on Jennings.
I love
punching
that.
Punching him in the nads.
Here's the thing about the one. About that guy is how mad
Jennings must have made him.
Just it, got so far under his skin,
well,
right?
Again, to bring it back to the game.
Yeah.
So he's out in the first quarter. Mm-hmm. That's Chris Lehman, so starting cornerback mm-hmm. who Tennessee recruited. Mm-hmm. And then Davis, the safety, goes out. So Carolina, not a great defense to begin with, minus two of their four starters in the secondary. Mm-hmm. Tennessee still really couldn't get anything going against him.
Didn't even try to throw anything. Just, oh, well. Oh, man. Did Butch Jones say anything about maybe starting Dormady next week? No. But thanks for asking. Let's go back to the phones. 865-200-5402. I love how some people, like Mark David Hall is on here. He's the president and founding member of the Butch Jones fan club. And then there's another guy right below him on my Twitter timeline saying, let him walk. Who can underachieve more with this talent at hand? Who? I mean,
there's a wide receivers coach down at the Dallas Cowboys who comes to mind.
There's such a disparate view on these things. And everybody gets at each other's throats. And that's why winning is so much more fun. People who think I'm kidding never did a day of this. Trust me. I've got a friend, R.J. Choppy, who we started in the business back in the day, who's now does a morning show in Dallas. And I haven't talked to him about this, but I can promise you he's having a much better time right now talking about the Cowboys than he was when they were sucking out loud and couldn't win a game last year. Let's go back to the phones, 865-200-5402. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Hey, guys. Good evening. It's T-Cart.
Hey, buddy. Welcome.
Hey, man. Hey, Dubsy. How are you, bud?
Hanging in, T-Cart.
I hear you, buddy. I've got a few things written down because, my goodness, my memory's shot at 2 o'clock in the morning. First thing is, DeBoer is not a dynamic play caller, or even one that makes you guess. Tonight, I don't know what he was doing. I don't know. You know, when we go five wide, we know one thing's going to happen. It's either going to be a little slant or a little out, or Dobbs is going to keep it. You know, you can almost call these things, these plays, like before they happen just by looking at the lineup. And it's so frustrating because, you know, this is the SEC. This isn't the MAC. A second point is John Kelly at this point is a better running back than Hurd for this system. And the reason why that is Hurd works better in a system kind of like the Dallas Cowboys used to run with the guy that's at Tennessee right now. I can't think of his name. But when he was running for Dallas, he was one of the top rushers in the NFL. Then he goes to Philadelphia when Chip Kelly is there, and he's not very good. He's garbage. But now he's back at Tennessee, and it seems to be doing very, very well. Is it because the guy's garbage, or is it because the system just didn't fit him? I think that Hurd doesn't fit the system. I think he runs extremely hard. I don't think he fits the system, and I think John Kelly is a better runner for this. I also think this offensive line philosophy is not going to work at the SEC championship level. It is a MAC coaching type of philosophy when it comes to the offensive line, this shading or zone blocking scheme. It's made for when you have lesser offensive linemen and lesser players than the guys you're going up against.
Yeah.
And it's not going to work at a championship level. There are times where you've got to line up and blow people off the ball when you've got the talent to do it. And we just didn't do it tonight, period. Another thing, Dobbs is a liability. Love him or hate him, he is a liability. There's so much that he has done good for UT football, but on the other hand, tonight, he couldn't, I mean, that was middle school quarterback numbers. It was horrible. I mean, you can't bounce past, you know, those things to him. And in my opinion, he should have gotten pulled tonight. And, the last thing was that punt by Trevor Daniel was a TD. It truly was. There's no way in the world that should have been called a touchback. For one, Mosley touched it before it, you know, and I thought that once you touch the football, it's supposed to be down. So let's say that other guy comes in and runs and gets it. That ball didn't cross the line until the South Carolina player kicked it with his foot. And at that point, it's a live ball, and what do? We recover it in the end zone. So it should have either been one of two things. It should have been either down at the 1 yard line or a touchdown Tennessee. There's no way that it should have ever been a touchback. But again, that's SEC officialing. What are your guys' thoughts on that stuff?
Dubsy, let's start with the call first because it's like 2:30 in the morning, and I want to hear you extrapolate that play.
McDowell just needs to leave it alone. If nobody touches it, it's done. It's down inside. The one, and once they go to the, I mean, Tennessee's just not getting that call tonight. They're just
well.
Not.
The point is, though, once you touch the ball, it's down. See, you see guys come in and try to pick balls up and run with them after the fact because you can't fumble it there.
Mm-hmm.
That's the deal. I mean, that's like a live dead ball. So T. Carp, in a perfect world, you would be right, but unfortunately, that's not how the rule's written. That's not how the game works.
As far as Dobbs, here's the interesting thing about Dobbs, because I was thinking about Dormady too. I think we all were. Once you open that box,
right,
you can't put it back in. If you bench Josh Dobbs, the entire complexion of your season changes because that will be the storyline from there on out. So, but I'm with you.
What are you playing for now? I didn't mean to cut you off.
You're still playing for the East, and I mean, it's just a hard call to make because I'm with you. I'm with Bino. I love Josh Dobbs. I think he's been great for the university. Yes, he's been streaky. He's been inconsistent. He's never been like he was tonight. This is the worst we've ever seen him. It was awful, and he was a liability to Tennessee tonight. And I do think they probably would have won. I think Quentin Dormady probably could have won them this game.
Oh yeah.
But I understand Butch's hesitation to make that move because once you bench your senior starter, you might ruin his confidence going forward. Who's to say if Dormady can do any better? I don't know, man. It's just that's a really tough call to make.
What do y'all think about the offensive line philosophy and how Butch is coaching like he's in the MAC when he's in the SEC?
I think that's right. I've talked to people who are convinced that the reason that Tennessee's offensive linemen get hurt to a higher level than most is that their blocking scheme does not enable them to fire out. So they're playing catch and they're playing defense, and guys are going to roll at your feet when that's the case, and you're going to get those types of injuries. And you know what? Thinking about it, that makes sense. That makes sense. And those are football people that have told me that. Now, some people are really married to that old school system, and want to see the... I'm just not a big fan of the scheme. I don't like it. I don't like this kind of football. It's stupid.
We've had this discussion a billion times, but
they
score their touchdown with Hurd there on the goal line, and it's third and goal at the one, and you're lining up in the shotgun. It's just so frustrating for those of us who've grown up watching Smash Mouth Tennessee football yeah. to see your team in the shotgun.
Right.
When you've got a player like that, Jalen Hurd.
The stuff about the role and the look, when you touch a ball down there, you're supposed to you just leave it alone when it's on the goal line. Once the impetus of the ball hitting into the end zone is the defender touching the ball, the return man can go back there and try to grab that ball if he wants to. Now he'll get tackled, but you can attempt to pick that ball up. I mean, you can't fumble it at that point.
I hadn't thought about what he was saying about it.
It kicked off
being a Tennessee touchdown.
Yes.
It touches the South Carolina player, then it's live.
But I think, after it's dead.
But yeah, their ruling is that McDowell possessed
it
across
the
plane.
Brought it into the end zone.
Yeah, and at that point it's a dead ball.
That's correct.
Which I don't know how you could make that call from the replay. What I saw was McDowell, he slid into the end zone, but he kind of pushed the ball like he never brought it over.
I think though, and what's interesting about that play is, again, it's one of those bang-bang deals. Where replay kind of confuses the issue. Now, your competitor, see, some people are saying it never crossed the line. We don't know that. I don't know that. I mean, I don't know whether
there was no
the line
video evidence that would suggest it definitively one way or the
right.
other.
And so the initial call on the field was touchback. And that's the point. And that's why I hate replay. Cause it's like Rocky Good the other day. On the show opposite you in the afternoon, they actually let him come on the air and say that he did not see the targeting play in the Alabama game. And they let him get away with that. Like, I would have gone, okay, so here's my phone. You know me.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, well, I'm paying you for this segment. Here's the play. I would like you to comment on this as an SEC
play where
official.
They basically caved to that dude's face mask
yes.
in?
They let him get away with saying, well, I didn't see it. You know, tonight, like on the goal line there, that's a real bang-bang deal there. That ball's laying there. You leave it alone, it's their ball at the one-inch line. It doesn't get any better than that. The ball died there. The ball died there. But, again, that was part and parcel of what we saw tonight, which is a team that could not help itself. It had to stub its toe. It had to get in its own way. It had to ruin that special dream tonight. And now we're looking at, can Arkansas take care of our bidding for us? Can South Carolina take care of our bidding? And then what happens if South Carolina all of a sudden wins the rest of them? Will Muschamp might get coach of the century.
He wins down at the swamp.
Yeah.
That would be helpful.
Back to the phones. Let's grab our next call. Hello and welcome into our next caller.
How you guys doing?
Hey, welcome in.
Hey, Tony. I hate to say I told you so, but I told you so. It's Butchie Boy offense is just not going to work. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm listening. Go ahead, man.
I just don't see this Butchie Boy offense working. I mean, and the whole coaching style. I mean, the guy's done a great job of building our program. And I appreciate what he's done. And he's done a great job recruiting. And I think he made a step in the right direction on the defensive side of the football, even though we're not seeing the results of this new defensive coordinator. But he's going to have to turn this offense over to somebody else, or he's not going to survive.
And that's what Russell said. Now we have a theme in talk radio. And on the boards, aside from what's left this season, which is, are you gonna do what, Gus Malzahn did?
Well, here's what I think we need to do, Tony.
And I love, don't get me wrong, I love Josh Dobbs. Josh Dobbs is a great kid, and I think he's a very talented football player, but I don't think they put him in a position to succeed with this offense. But here's what you need to do moving forward. You need to find out who your quarterback's going to be next year, and I think this year's a wash. I think we're done this year. So we need, I think we need to bench Dobbs and either put Dormady, I think we need to put Dormady in there. If not Dormady, Garantano. And figure out who's going to be our quarterback next year and just start using these remaining games. We should be able to wipe the table with these remaining teams.
Famous last words.
I would start using these games as scrimmages to figure out what we're going to do next year.
Famous last words. Hey, we should be able to wipe a table. Would you play Garantano?
I've played the guy. I mean, until you're mathematically eliminated, I'm not looking towards next year. You play the guy who gives you the best chance to win. I still think that's Josh Dobbs as it stands.
Well, Dobbsy. I think that Dormady has been our best opportunity to win all year long.
I would respectfully disagree.
That's interesting.
Jeeker, if you're not sold on this offense and you think it needs to be a change, like what kind of direction would you go in? Is there somebody around, perhaps locally, that you would entrust your offense to?
Yeah. Anybody comes to mind for you?
Oh yeah, George Quarles.
Wow.
That was a layup.
That's like making
Big Will to try to say funeral.
That's an amazing idea right there. I didn't think of that.
Get Big Will to say funeral.
You look at what Art Briles did at Baylor, and you look at what the guy's doing down at Ole Miss. I mean, it's not rocket science, Tony, you said it before. They're glorified PE teachers.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
But they want to act like it's rocket science. And Butchie Boy is getting ready to go down in the tubes because I'm telling you what, his recruiting is getting ready to go down the drain.
Oh, come on, man. That's not true.
Hey, Tony. And this offensive line stuff that you were just talking about.
It's interesting, isn't it?
It's very interesting. It's very interesting, and I'm glad you brought that to the table because I just think the whole offensive scheme is screwed up. Mm-hmm. And he's a great administrator. He's a great ambassador for the program. He's a great recruiter.
Yep.
He needs to get some people in there that knows football, because I don't think he knows football.
Jacardio, thank you. Great phone call. Interesting points by you. Let's go back to our phones. Dormady, would he have won tonight's game, as a couple of callers have already said?
We haven't seen enough of Dormady to really know what there is there. We've only seen him in mop-up duty or against Western Carolina last year, which is inferior competition.
Let me throw another one at you. Put John Kelly at the Wildcat tonight. You win the game. I'm not kidding. I'm not joking.
No, I don't think so.
Oh, yeah, you do.
But here's the thing. We don't know about Dormady. We don't know about that is because, yes, South Carolina is an inferior opponent, but Will Muschamp, you know, he's a good defensive coach. They would be able to diagnose that. You have to be more than just one-dimensional. It's why you can't just line up and run right at them. I mean, there has to be some element of surprise. He's not going to just sit there and let you beat him over and over again doing the same thing.
Let's go back to our phones on a night where Tennessee just, I still can't believe it, loses. I'm going to wake up tomorrow and Rick Barnes is going to have a 4-star recruit. Is that right? Is that how it works in the Twilight Zone? I mean, Next thing I'm on there, Rick Barnes actually tried to contact the recruit today. Let's get our next call in at 865-200-5402. Yeah, how about this? How about if you put Jennings a quarterback tonight and just let him run around back there?
There's a thought.
You win the game?
I don't think so. I think we're oversimplifying it at this point. I mean.
Oh, no. I think they overcomplicated it. That team can't stop the run. That team can't play on defense. And they lost.
But that's what you do. You go with Dobbs.
And they lost two in their back 11.
You go with Dobbs and you give the ball to JFK.
Thank you.
25 times.
JFK gets it 25 times.
And you keep it, and you take shots down the field, you throw it deep to Malone and Jennings a couple times, you get rid of all this intricate intermediate throw and read and RPOs and all that stuff.
So.
Keep it simple. Run
next
the ball,
call.
Play action deep.
Hello and welcome.
PlayStation football.
Hey, Tony.
Hey, welcome, man.
So, on the way back, my buddy called in earlier, and we're young fans. You know, I want to make a point.
Go ahead, man.
You know, so obviously we saw what happened, and obviously it's disappointing. We talked about it all night, whatnot. It seems like most Tennessee fans want to. But my thing is this. So, as I was walking out of Williams-Brice Stadium tonight, there was a student that, and I'm a student as well. I'm a senior at Tennessee. A student mentioned to me, and they go, you know, well, at least we beat Florida. And then I was just like, yeah, but no. Like, my question is, does that not just define the past 10 years of Tennessee? Like, to where the students who maybe, and I've been a fan all my life, so I know what Tennessee is supposed to be, you know, and I understand, you know, the rich history and tradition and how it's a winning football program, but to where the students who maybe have not, but they developed a relationship with the school, and they've recently became fans. That can't be the expectation of Tennessee moving forward, because we are the future of the fan base. So I just wanted to hear your thoughts on that. I mean,
what do you feel like the expectations are?
Championships.
No, younger people that you interact with, what are their expectations on the program?
Their expectations are, it pretty much summed up the way the guy said, you know, like, well, at least we beat Florida. And it's not to the level that it should be. It's not the, you know, you can't just accept what happened tonight, you know? Like, it was almost like he accepted what happened. And that can't be done. You know, I can't really speak for the entire, you know, student body
let me ask you this.
Win total should be.
And I ask Russell this too.
Yeah.
Does the losing tonight, does it undo the Florida win for you?
No.
No, it can't undo that, but you cannot acknowledge that it sets Tennessee back, in my opinion.
Well, here's where it's not going to set Tennessee back. Arkansas has to beat Florida next week. If that doesn't happen, it has set Tennessee back, because this is a year you absolutely have to get to Atlanta. I mean, I don't care if you do it with three losses.
Weekend in December watching freaking Florida play the SEC championship
game.
That's
going to suck.
That's going to be disgusting.
Oh, man.
Because they suck. They are suckitude.
They do.
I don't care how hurt we are. They suck.
That's supposed to be us getting our asses kicked by Bama in Atlanta.
Right.
Not them.
Well, the truth is, though, that, and this is just fact now, whether it's Del Rio or their other quarterback, they're both tomato can players. Those guys should not be winning a division with that quarterback play. They just shouldn't be.
I mean, you saw what happened when we just got a little bit of pressure on, got a little bit of momentum.
Oh, it's a joke.
You know?
And today, he looked so average, and that was in the cocktail party. Good for them. They can't call it that anymore for whatever reason, political correctness. But You need to drink to watch that kind of football.
Right?
Right? I mean, seriously, and the hard stuff.
I didn't get to watch it because we were on the way to Carolina, but I heard a little bit about it.
Yeah, it was terrible. It was absolutely, that was a terrible, terrible game. And your point is really well taken in terms of what, because that's good, that's a conversation many in our fan base are going to have, and they're going to argue and fight over it in terms of what's acceptable and what isn't. And
right.
it's, we're going to have that discussion, man.
Right. And I was sitting beside an older gentleman on the shuttle on the way back to my car. And we got into this talk, and you know, we heard some South Carolina fans, and they kind of butt in our conversation. They're like, you know, well, we remember, you know, a few years ago when y'all came back and beat us. And I said, yeah, you know, I kind of just let it go. But I thought to myself, you know, the difference is quite frankly, we're Tennessee and you're South Carolina. You know, the expectations at Tennessee should be higher. You know, this is Bruce Spurrier. What was Carolina ever? You know, so it's just. It's just a different situation, and it's frustrating. I think we're all frustrated about tonight. You know, words can't describe it, but, you know, what do you do?
No, it's shocking. I appreciate your call, man. Thank you.
Yeah. And thanks, man.
Best of luck to you. Yeah, best of luck to you getting home, too. We need you here. Dubsy, give me a final thought on the way out. Let's close this thing. It's about 3 in the morning. I think we've proved it to people.
The thing about it is that team that walked off the field against Florida is not the team we're seeing right now. From not only mentally, but physically.
Yep.
I mean, we've lost 3 defensive tackles off that team.
Yep.
Kamara was a huge... How much did they miss Kamara today? I mean,
big
time. Yeah, Kamara, they win that game tonight. So it's just not the same team right now. And we might never see that team again for the rest of the season. We'll always wonder what if, that, you know, an injury here, an injury there they hadn't had to deal with, but you're just absolutely decimated right now. It's not an excuse not to win this game. You got to pick up the pieces here and try and win these last 4, because Bino's right. If Arkansas, they were off this week, right?
Yes.
So if they can beat Florida on their home field next week, and you know Tennessee will be right back there waiting on LSU, and
yep.
You know it's hard to see it right now, but there still could possibly be something to play for.
Tell the living listener, Dubsy, where they can find you, and I appreciate your time, man.
Yeah, man, thanks for having me as always. I'm on Fox Sports Knoxville weekdays from 3 to 6, 1340 a.m. here in town. You can listen on just go to foxsportsknoxville.com. You can listen there. There's an app, all that good stuff. And follow me on Twitter, @RussellTheDrive.
The maddening thing about tonight's game is also the beautiful thing about college football, and that's that you truly never know. We sit around and talk about this stuff ad nauseum. We fret about it in the off season. We circle that, get that calendar, and you take next year's schedule in the summer and you go through it. And you take the games that you feel like could be losses and you put them out on the side, and then you circle your wins. College football is so great that for most teams, those circled wins can become losses. And Tennessee's not to the point right now where circled wins are guaranteed wins. They're just not. And the injuries have underscored that even more so. Tonight's game hurts. It sucks. It pisses me off. I'm a soldier. I'm going to do this for this year. Quoting Kellen Winslow. I've got to believe in the IGYV. I've got to believe we're getting to Atlanta. Whether it's as a 10-2 team or a 9-3 team, it doesn't matter to me. And if you have to go into the bowl, if you have to go into bowl season as a 10-4 team, I want to get to Atlanta. And I'm not giving that up till somebody tells me that's been mathematically eliminated. And we've been mathematically taken out of that equation. I will not give that up. It would be a crying shame if Josh Dobbs comes here and does what he does, even though he was terrible tonight. But if a guy like that doesn't get a chance to play in one championship game, that would suck. If a guy like Jalen Hurd doesn't get a chance to go out of here a winner, though some may have their doubts about him, I don't. I think he's hurt. It'd be a real shame for a Derek Barnett to have come through here and not get a chance to play for it. And to win it, you gotta be in it. You gotta be in it to win it. Those guys are a part of a real special class that I think has brought Tennessee back past the point of respectability into contention. Now look, it's not gonna happen this year. They're hurt. But those kids haven't quit, and I'm not gonna quit, and we shouldn't quit on those kids. Tennessee played a D-minus game tonight. They should have gotten blown out in the game, truthfully. But they had a chance to kick a 58-yard field goal to tie the game. That says about as much about them as could possibly be said. I want to thank everybody for being there tonight. I want to thank you, Dubsy, for being here with me, Russell Smith. I want to thank Jerry Colquitt, listening in FEMA Quadrant 10. Jerry, I love you. We're thinking about you tonight. I want to thank Bino, Jeff, for being there. I want to thank the people on the Periscope who have harassed me all night. We've gone to, let's see how many people we reached on the Periscope, Dubsy. I'm looking at this right now. 8,512 viewers, 8,514 viewers, 16 viewers, 17, 18, 19. That's kind of scary, Dubsy.
They're still tuning in tonight?
Yeah, it's gone up 9 in like the last minute.
I mean, when they can see you sitting there just bringing the raw sex appeal that is your hallmark.
Sex appeal, Ronnie Steele.
Why wouldn't they tune in on Periscope?
I wonder what I look like to people that aren't used to my face. I mean, to me, I look like a... I don't know what I look like. Begins with the horses and ends with rear. Russell, thanks, man. Love you.
Thank you, man. Appreciate you having me in here. It's a lot of fun. Even on nights like this, there's still... It's fun. Group therapy.
Yeah. And just as our final caller, the sentiment is to the Carolina fans listening, and there are some of the bombarded my Periscope and Twitter feed tonight with, we're winning the rest of our games. Let me just remind you, we're Tennessee. Y'all are SC Junior. We're UT Senior. Y'all are SC Junior. But that said, I do want to be a classy loser this evening and say to you, congratulations on your hollow victory. And until we meet again, for all those behind the scenes, we love, God bless, and go Vols go. Belay, belay dat, belay dat, belay, belay, belay. I'm getting ready to, on the other side, I'm going to upload the shows for those of you driving back. And if you missed any of it, you can listen to it on your way back in. In the meantime, I'm just going to play a little something here. It's going to help you get from here to there.
The wildest and wooliest post-game fan show in college football. The Smart Way Garza Law Firm Fifth Quarter Fan Reaction with your host, Tony Basilio. Tony needs to take a quick break, and we'll be right back for more of the fifth quarter. If you're new to the world of Tony Basilio, welcome to the nerve center of the Big Orange Universe. It starts with TonyBasilio.com. If you want the truth, and nothing but the truth, on what's going on at the University of Tennessee, TonyBasilio.com's your place, and it's absolutely free. Unlike other sites, Tony doesn't hide the good stuff behind a paywall. TonyBasilio.com. It's all out there for you. Strong recruiting information and analysis from X. Insider information from the Vol Colonel and Orange Throat. Sharp opinions from basketball expert Keith Hatfield and all-around sports guy Jeff Beano Henderson. And of course, no one brings it online like Tony Basilio, with a lot of good emails from his fans. Then Monday through Friday is the best 2 hours of sports radio for a ball fan, as the Tony Basilio Show airs from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on 1180 a.m. The VLC and the Tony Basilio app. Tony has great co-hosts like Beano on Mondays and Fridays, and Dr. Sean Sinclair dishes on Vol football every Wednesday. Sometimes Tony just can't stop at 2 hours. That's when the Fairways and Greens 19th hole kicks in. But you need the Tony Basilio app on your smartphone or tablet to listen when things get really cranked up. Nobody keeps a Big Orange fan up to date and in the know like Tony Basilio. Now, back to the best post-game fan show in college football, the Smart Way Garza Law Firm Fan Reaction, and your host, who's been keeping it real for the Big Orange Universe for nearly a quarter century, ladies and gentlemen, Tony Basilio.